This is Encounters, a dialogue that brings you multifaceted life stories you don't want to miss.
I started a company 7 years ago called Seven Ages. It's a musical producing company. And I think we're doing cultural things and we're producing musicals. Basically, we're producing stories, different people's stories. So I think the word Seven Ages can clearly depict what we're doing and what we wanted to do. We just wanted to tell people's stories in a very interesting and touching way. When I went outside, although I can see the generally difference in thinking, but they're also real people. They have a lot of in common as well, like emotions. That's, I think, the underlying why I think that would work. Because the great pieces, musical, the theme and the emotions, they could share by people from different cultural backgrounds. They're not limited to just one culture. When we had discussion with our roommates, I realized that it's always something I wanted to do. I wanted to start up something, maybe make a difference. I just feel that, it's maybe because the entrepreneurial spirit from my province. I can do things to introduce literature, to introduce musicals to people in a way. That's something I will be good at or I will be interested in.
Hello and welcome to Encounters. I'm your host, Man Ling. My guest today is Yang Jiaming. She is the founder and CEO of the stage musical production company Seven Ages. We spoke at her office in Beijing's Dongcheng District. It's the city's cultural hub, home to around one-third of its theaters. 33-year-old Jiaming is from Juzhou, a small city in the coastal province of Zhejiang, which is famous for its entrepreneurial culture. Growing up in Jiaming's household, doing business was a family tradition of sorts. Her mother is a self-made entrepreneur who started her own clothes factory from scratch in the 1980s. Her family's influence has had a profound impact on her career choices. The English literature student from Peking University landed her first job after graduation at Japan's SoftBank Group. But her love of musicals and the entrepreneurial spirit in her genes would lead Jiaming to establish her own production company, which brings Western musicals to China. In this episode, the young businesswoman shares with us the story of how she forged her passion for musicals with her sharp business skills to carve out her own space in China's theater scene. Stay tuned for more.
Welcome to the show, Encounters. Would you please introduce yourself briefly to us?
Okay. It's really a pleasure to join the program. And I'm a producer of musicals in China. And I started a company 7 years ago called Seven Ages. It's a musical producing company.
Seven Ages?
Yes.
Why?
I studied Shakespeare in college, and the word Seven Ages actually came from one of my favorite Shakespeare play called As You Like It.
What does it mean?
I think the content is like this. The whole world is a stage. Every man and women are mere players. Our life will be divided into seven ages. So Seven Ages is like seven stages in our lives. The first stage is infants. Then we go to school, then we became a soldier, then we fight, and we became like a captain. And in the last stage of our life, we have no teeth, we can't see things clearly, and we just go back to Earth. So in that monologue, in As You Like It, it divided people's life into seven stages, which we call Seven Ages.
The cycle of life.
Yeah, the circle of life. And I think it's really beautiful and touching. And I think because we're doing cultural things and we're producing musicals, basically we're producing stories, different people's stories. So I think the word Seven Ages can clearly depict what we're doing and what we wanted to do. We just wanted to tell people's stories in a very interesting and touching way.
Seven Ages reminds me of Confucius, San Shi Er Li, Si Shi, every 10 years of life. He summarizes what we should have been achieving or have already achieved.
And
that's on the level of thoughts and thinking.
Yes.
But this Shakespearean concept of ages means we have different stories at different ages of life.
Yes.
And finally, it's kind of a circle of life.
Yeah.
I wonder which one is the first musical that you got exposed to?
Yeah, I think it's back in high school in a music class. The teacher showed us a few clips from Cats. That's interesting. I never realized there is art genre like this. Yeah, we saw movies and we saw TV series, but...
And in Zhejiang, we have Shaoxing Opera, right?
Oh, yeah, and my grandma used to be a fan of Peking Opera. Most of the time, she watched Peking Opera from TV. There is a TV channel just for the traditional Chinese operas.
Did you like it when you were little?
I found it interesting, but I'm
not really a
big fan.
Then your grandma's hobby, love for Peking Opera, did she influence you? How do you find Peking Opera? Have you listened to, or are you a fan?
No, I'm not a big fan, but after I started the musical business myself, I find there are roots in Chinese traditional operas. Of
roots?
Musicals, yeah, like Peking Opera or Yuezhi or Huang Meixi. There are a lot of musical elements in it. So I just recall that probably the seed is planted when I was very little, when I stayed in my grandma's room and watched the Peking Opera performing in TV with her. Although I can't understand, but the performing arts and the singing and the costumes, they have a lot of influence in the heart of that little girl.
So actually I can tell there are kind of traces that we can find that your grandma somehow, you know, she brought you into an environment, theatrical art environment, which later you will put on stage. Right? But let's talk about why you chose to learn English and literature in Peking University. What year was that?
It was from 2005 to 2009.
Tell me why you choose literature and English.
I think there are two reasons, to be frank. One is more towards I ask myself which subjects interest me most. And I realized in Chinese literature and in English literature, I spend a lot of time finding to read books or novels, which are not required by school. But for science, it's more like I finished what the teachers required. So that indicates that I have less interest in science than in social science, like literature, either it's Chinese or English. And also, a very practical reason is, I think if every top student in my school go to science, I have more chance to go to the best university if I choose social science. It's a very practical calculation, but I have to admit it. That's in the back of my mind as well.
Every Chinese student has to calculate because the opportunities are rare and all of us are competing for the best universities, right?
Yeah.
You're being practical to make that decision. On the art side of preferences, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see it coming from the father, your mother? Who is the art lover in the family?
In my family, I mean, my father and mother, no.
No. Grandma?
Yeah, I think it's more from both grandmas.
On mother's side and
father's
side?
On mother's side and father's side.
Really?
Yes. The grandma loved
the
Peking.
The Peking opera grandma is your
father's side.
Okay,
grandma.
Father's side.
Yeah. And my mother's side grandma, she really loves singing and dancing. And she's not a professional singer or dancer, but she spent a lot of time in the community organization.
Yes.
And she's quite short, actually. She is only 1.4. And she still dances in the community organization. No, she has already passed away, but she dances until she was like in her 80s. She's still very active, singing in the chorus and dancing in the community, the dancing group.
Okay, I know that you love literature in high school, and Cat was the first musical you learned, and you were impressed by it. And then you went to Harvard as an exchange student, right? Was that overlapping with the years that you studied in Peking University? Is it an exchange student program?
Yeah. I went to Harvard and Michigan University when I was a third-year student at Peking University.
Okay, it's a joint sort of teaching program.
Yeah. It's just a year. So
just 1 year,
just
right?
1 year.
Let's put it this way. If you didn't have that chance to go to Harvard, were you going to be a different person? What did you learn from that year, one year in Harvard?
I can't tell whether I would be a different person or not, because we just can't go back. So every step we take made what we are now, right? But I think more important than going to which school, either it's Harvard or it's the going abroad experience. It's my first experience. It's when I was 19, turning to 20, I think. Yeah, and I never went abroad before that
age. Not even for a small...
No, never.
And did you have so-called cultural shocks?
Not a lot of shocks. Although I never went abroad, but because we studied English literature, so I'm familiar with the culture thing. But it's different. We learn things from books. It's quite different to really to talk to people abroad and live with them. It's quite different. I think it really opens up my vision and my mind. And I can accept there are people living in the world. They may think totally different, and they may have totally different cultural background. And
So it's the differences that you were impressed.
Yes.
But you have already learned about the differences on the book.
Yeah.
So I want to know, what are the differences from the differences you learned on the book?
It's almost philosophical.
Because as a student of literature, me also, right? Student of literature and student of language, we were taught what sort of society, English-speaking country, you know, UK or US, is like. But when we went there to see with our own eyes, there will be differences. So that's why I ask you, you know, what sort of things shocked you, actually? Yes. It's different from the books.
On the one hand, I think the books, they're written and they're old. So the people I'm meeting now, they're modern people. That's the one difference. And the second difference is when we study this culture, we tend to have more stereotype. We tend to categorize people like they're from this culture, they're from like Japan, they tend to be. But when I went outside, although I can see the generally difference in thinking, but they're also real people.
We
have a lot of things in common as well. That's quite different. It's they're not like a group of people written in the textbook.
So they're alive, right?
Yeah, they're alive.
And they are also different.
They're very different, but at the same time, you have a lot of in common as well.
Yeah. Commonality, like, you find.
Yeah, like emotions, For instance, we all love our families, but we just express it in a different way. Maybe we are more conservative, in a more quiet way. Like in Americans, they may be more straightforward or have more willingness to express. But things deep inside, they're similar. The emotions, the feelings.
So this is when you go in close contact with the people mm-hmm. you learned about mm-hmm. from the book. Mm-hmm. Kind of you started to relate, to identify, to find commonality, the humanity part.
Yes.
You know, people from totally different mm-hmm. cultural backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So it's like close the gap. One is theoretical. You know, mm-hmm. principles, rules, mm-hmm. and labels mm-hmm. even, you know, attached to certain mm-hmm. people. Chinese mm-hmm. people are like that.
Yes.
American people are like that.
Yes.
But when you merge together, you find you become the one mm-hmm. humankind species, a big
yes.
one.
Yes.
And is it exactly. why that you think it's mm-hmm. Workable or practical that you would succeed in bringing Western musicals into Chinese culture or to Chinese audience?
Yeah, that's a very important point. Yes, that's, I think, the underlying why I think that would work. Because the great pieces, musical, the theme and the emotions, they could share by people from different cultural backgrounds. They're not limited to just one culture.
Yeah. And Harvard is the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were exposed to the Western mm-hmm. culture mostly.
Yes, yeah.
And Japan, how many years you stayed in Japan?
2 years.
2 years yeah. after you graduated from
yes.
Peking University.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell us why you chose to go to Japan. You know, you haven't learned the Japanese.
Yeah, that's another crazy
decision. And you learned mm-hmm. only English mm-hmm. and the literature, and mm-hmm. you haven't learned investment.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
haven't learned anything mm-hmm. related to economics.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I am quite mm-hmm. curious that mm-hmm. why a Japanese investment bank
yeah.
right,
uh-huh.
called SoftBank
yes.
hired you. For what? What qualities? For your language aptitude?
No. First, let me answer why they hired me. I still think the way they choose people is quite different from usually other companies. They don't have this kind of written requirements. For instance, how you could speak Japanese, how that you studied this subject, then you can apply for this job. They have no requirements like this.
No rigid.
Yeah, no rigid, but they care three things. One is your education background, whether you are a good learner or not. And the second is they care a lot about your personality. And also, it's part of personality as well, and they wanted to see whether you could fit into the team or not. It's like a marathon interview I've ever had.
Really?
They have six interviews.
Six interviews?
Yeah, in half a year. In almost 6 months.
Half a year?
Yeah. So,
My God.
Need to meet just different people in the group.
That's before you graduated, right?
Yeah. It's the last semester. Yeah, I don't know whether it's SoftBank style or it's Japanese
okay.
company style. Yeah, but...
But when did you learn about this company and when did you start to consider? Why a Japanese company instead of an American company? Because you have already learned English and literature and you have already went to Harvard. Usually people would choose an mm-hmm. English-speaking country, right?
Given the experience that I was an exchange student in America, I think that experience really enriches me in many ways. And I think if I have opportunities, I would choose another country, but a country with totally different style or culture. Because I was still very young, I don't want to just to limit myself like a certain path or something. So I still wanted to explore possibilities at that time. So I think maybe if given opportunity, either I could go abroad to continue to study or get into the real business world, but if it's abroad in a different country, that would be really interesting. But
so,
there's not many opportunities for you to just, after you graduate, you can go
You can immediately go into
a
job.
Yeah.
Where did you learn about the company? I mean, the vacancy or, you know, they were looking for talents.
I think I know the founder of the company, no personally, but I heard of his name when I was like a sophomore student. There was a book very popular at the time called Flying Higher. It's mm-hmm. the biography of that founder. It's Mr. Sun Zhenyi. He is a very successful and also self-made entrepreneur in Japan. He used to be the most wealthy person in Japan. He invested in Alibaba very early.
You admired him and you applied for a job. Right?
Yes, okay. Yeah.
He is brand name you go for.
Yeah, I think I can learn a lot in his company. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the way he makes himself really from nothing and he has these crazy ideas of changing the world really inspired me. So it's more like a role model. And
Let me summarize a little bit. Because you are an explorer, you wanted something new, always. Mm-hmm. You have already had experiences in the United States. Mm-hmm. And then Japan is a totally different country. Mm-hmm. It has totally different culture from the English-speaking world.
Yes.
And it's closer to us.
Yes.
It's Asian. Mm-hmm. We have similar philosophies, lifestyles, even habits of using chopsticks, right?
Yes.
So you went there. And then only for 2 years.
Yeah.
Why did you stop? Were you doing well during the 2 years in the company?
Yeah, I think so.
Were you well paid?
Yes.
And then you decided to give up all of these things. Why?
I think I never considered this career as like a lifetime career.
Yes. You chose because Japan can give you something different from, country to explore, right?
Yeah.
And also you choose the bank because of Mr. Sun.
Yeah.
And behind it is the desire to become an entrepreneur by yourself?
Yes.
You are a language major student.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to become a businesswoman.
Yes.
That is the driving force, right?
Yes.
And this dream of becoming a businesswoman started from when? You realize that you are actually material, or you are made to, you love.
I think when I went to college, I realized that when we had like discussion with our roommates, I realized that it's always something I wanted to do. I wanted to start up something, maybe make a difference, but it's not a common idea shared by other English majors. Some of them, they wanted to be a teacher, a college teacher, or they wanted to go to the embassies.
So teachers, diplomats, translators of companies right? So these are the jobs that English majors, I became a teacher later, immediately after I graduated. So I wonder why you had this idea of going into business. What does that come from? Is it a tradition in your family?
My mom was a self-made entrepreneur. And back in 1980s, at that period of time in China, I think, although we opened up to the world, but in a small town like where I was born, it's still very a little bit conservative. So it's rare that a woman could start her own business in 1980s.
How come she decided to be a self-employed sort of
She just, because my mom really likes fashion industry. She really likes beautiful clothes and she wanted to design and make beautiful clothes for the girls in the small town. So I think she saw a first fashion show in TV, in a very small screen TV at home, and she was really fascinated about it. So she went to, for instance, she traveled to Shanghai and do window shopping just to see the new fashion, what comes from outside and how the foreign fashion combined with Chinese local designs. She's just taught herself to be a fashion designer and entrepreneur. And not only my mom, like my uncle, or
the whole family.
The whole family. Either they're small business or big business, but everyone is like, they wanted to be self-made entrepreneur. It's like a tradition. So you won't be awkward in that environment saying that you wanted to do this and you wanted to do a startup and you wanted to do this from scratch. Your crazy idea will be accepted by your parents and your family. That's my luck.
Do you attribute your entrepreneurship spirit to the place you were born and brought up?
I think part of, yes. I didn't realize that when I was a kid because it's just the environment. So I can't tell what's the difference between that environment and other cities. I realized that until I went, for instance, to Beijing to study, and I realized not everyone wanted to start up their own business. Not even with my roommates, but in the whole class, we have like 45 English major students. Mm-hmm. I'm maybe the only one wanted to start up my own business, but in Zhejiang, that's something like was written in our blood.
45 students.
Yeah.
You were the only one who wanted to become a business person graduation.
Yeah.
You singled yourself out from the rest of the students. Did you feel strange?
No, I just feel that, it's maybe because the entrepreneurial spirit from my province. But I didn't realize it will be so different. And I realized my love for literature is actually as a reader, but not a study research. For instance, the courses that I did best back in college, they are all literature courses. But the courses, for instance, like we study the text or like oral English speaking, things like that, I'm not really quite good at. I love reading literature, but I can't be a writer. It's quite different, and I can't analyze a literature, like in turn it into a paper.
Yeah, no, you're not a critic. You're not a commentator or critic.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
You love musicals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the ability to write a musical critic of your own work?
No.
No. Okay. No. You're not the creative writing person.
And I'm not the person to write a musical myself.
And you're not the person to create a script of musical.
Or
to write a play. No.
Yeah. I realize very early that I'm not a writer or artist myself.
Okay.
But I can enjoy and I can do things to introduce literature, to introduce musicals to people in a way. That's something I will be good at or I will be interested in.
So your ideal, what you want, is to bring Western musicals into China. And that's 7 years ago?
Yeah. After I decided I'm going to start musical business, I went back
to China. How did that idea?
The musical.
Yeah, come to your mind while you were in Japan. Are there events that lead to that decision?
Yeah, I think there's no single event, but it's more based on observation, I think.
What did you observe?
Yeah, when I was in college, I know that I'm a musical lover, but there's not a lot of chances that we can see live musicals in China. I still remember we can see a lot of like DVD, but there's seldom live ones. But after I went to Japan, I realized that I took subways to work every day and I went to those convenience store to buy things. Every place like in the subway, in the convenience store, in the shopping mall, there are a lot of musical posters and there are a lot of musicals performing in Tokyo, and I went to some of them and I was really impressed by how this musical industry was doing in Japan, in Tokyo especially, because the atmosphere is quite different from what I observe in Beijing. In Beijing, I wanted to see, I'm a fan of it, but the market is not very prosperous. There's not a lot of supply of real life musicals. And because I'm a researcher, it's more like an analyst in SoftBank at that time. I'm a junior analyst. And I did a lot of business analysis for my boss. So I think maybe I can study a little bit about the musical industry in Japan. So
you wanted to find out why.
Yeah, I wanted to find why. Is it a business? Because it never came into my mind when I was in China that it could be a business, because I thought it will be a very, very small sector.
Yeah.
It's like Peking Opera or even smaller. So I did some research using my research method I got from SoftBank. I was trained to be a business analyst. So I researched the business industry in Japan, and to my surprise, there is a musical business in Japan. They have very solid business model, and there are two very big companies, the leading companies of musicals in Japan. And one of them lasts for 60 years, and another of them lasts for over 100 years already. Uh-oh. And they have very good social impact. Japanese people love them. And one of them, the founder of Shiki, one of the companies, was just elected as the yearly economic person in Japan that year.
It's like an entrepreneurship.
Yeah. And also, they are very profitable. They are not government-funded, but they even pay
private company.
Yeah, a lot of taxes to the government. So I think, wow, that's interesting. Yeah.
But then, as an analyst, what was your conclusion? Why musical as a business flourished in the soil of Japan? Could it be copied here in China?
Yeah.
What was your conclusion?
I think so, because after the Japan's market analysis, I did the similar thing to Korea, to France. Yeah. So, and I find there are similar things in those market. For instance, the
Very different cultures, these three different countries.
Yeah, very different cultures. And also UK and America.
UK and America, they are the forefathers of musicals.
Yes, yes.
Grandpa. So you're now looking for, you know, babies in three very different cultural background country. One is France. France is closer. Only the language is different.
But
Korea, Japan, China would be closer, right?
Asian culture.
But they all had this, we call bed, right? If you're going to plant seed, soil and bed. But there is a question there. And Japan was way ahead because, like you said, some companies are already 60 and 100 years old. They imported this musical genre earlier than us. But to be successful, I don't want to really use the copy because I know you want to invent or innovate your, you know, on your own. But we are still at the stage of introducing the best of the world's musicals into China. We're at a learning stage. But how could you be sure that you're going to be successful and people are going to go to your shows? It's a barren land almost.
I think there are maybe several levels. First level is I need to analyze when it happened in Japan, when it happened in Korea. Of course, it's way earlier than China. Because for Japan and Korea, the similar thing to China is they don't have musical industry before.
No.
It's imported into.
It's imported.
Yes.
It's not part of the culture.
Yeah. So an interesting thing I find is the musical industry just boosted in Japan in late 1980s. Although the two companies I mentioned, they live a long time, but before they're not doing musicals, they may be like traditional Japanese
operas
or traditional Japanese plays, but they all dive into this musical industry in 1980s. And it's late 1980s. The Japanese turning point is 1987, the year I was born. And in Korea, the year was in 201. There's basically no musical industry in Korea. It's like China, like 10 years ago. There is like from time to time a musical come to Korea, but there's no industry until 2001.
We are 10 years later.
Yeah, I think so.
According to you.
Yeah,
because 2001 is for Korea, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then now we have an industry, but it's a fledgling industry.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not mature.
Yeah, it's still growing, I would
still
say.
Still growing.
Yeah, but growing in a very rapid way. It grows in 100% speed every year.
And in the UK, in comparison, in the UK and in the United States, it's really a mature market already.
Yes.
It's like you said, at convenience stores, railway stations, everywhere, whenever you want to get a ticket, you can, you know, immediately, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you did some analysis.
Yes.
and you studied, actually, it's the feasibility study. But that feasibility study, according to you, give you the 30% of chances of success or more than that?
At that time, I think, because I never really put my hands in the mud. So that point, theoretically, I think at least there is 30% of possibility of winning. But now, after all these years doing this in China, I actually think it's 80%. So at that time, it's just a judgment based on all this analysis. And there's still chance that there, okay, people in China is different. They hate this musicals a lot. Maybe they don't like it. The people are different. Although all the paperwork analysis seems that it's the right time. It's the right thing to do. But I don't know. I haven't do it before.
Jiamin was lucky to find her dream at a young age. But that didn't make the work of realizing it easy. Starting a theater company is a major undertaking, especially in a market where only a small number of people are used to seeing the kinds of performances that they will find on New York's Broadway and in London's West End. In our next episode, Jiamin will share with us the ups and downs she has encountered in running her own business. And we will hear how she's making well-known Western musicals accessible to Chinese audiences. And that's the end of our show. I'm Manling. Thank you for joining me. Be sure to visit chinaplus.cri.cn and look for Encounters, where you will find other episodes of the show, along with Manling's journals about our interviews.